podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You're on that panel with us in Leeds last year, which was far too, I mean, that was sensible, wasn't it, Phil? That we had to behave on that.
Oh, I don't think I can ever be accused of behaving.
Because we're being paid by the World Cup, but now we're more free to, you know. Revert to type. You've never seen Jay McDonald live, have you?
No.
I mean, the first thing I've got to ask you, Jody, is because I noticed this. You've obviously got pink hair, right? And you're the captain of the Leeds Rhinos wheelchair team who are playing Canlan Dragons in the Challenge Cup final on Sunday. But Amy Hardcastle signed for the club in the off-season, and she did have pink hair, and now she doesn't. So did you have to have a word and say, look, I've been here longer than you? You know, this is my gimmick.
Full rank.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think when I noticed Amy had dyed her hair, my niece was like, oh, look, there's somebody else with pink hair. And apparently Amy's also her favourite player now, so must be something about it.
I mean, is that a disappointment? Because obviously you want to be your niece's favourite player. You can't have somebody else steal that spotlight.
She differentiates. She always says there's the running rugby and then there's the wheelchair. So Amy's her favourite player across running rugby, according to the six-year-old, but in wheelchair. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's not.
she sounds like the sort of person that should be working for the RFL.
I mean, put it this way, she's my niece, she's got my personality, so
so you, I mean, don't mess with her either.
Nope.
Who else does she like? I don't. I'm hoping it's another rhino and not someone else.
So she is a fan of Simo's, and so she was very disappointed when Simo decided to retire. She is a fan of Vez's. She don't like Halliwell. She says she really don't like him.
He's got such taste.
But yeah, across you know, men's and women, she's a Rhino supporter, of course. But yeah, she just likes Amy, apparently. She likes Caitlin. The men's team she's not bothered about.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair comment on this year. I think that's fair.
Like women, she's shrewd.
Yeah, she's just like, I don't care for them. that I will say, she had a little bit of a thing a few years back, and I say this on Jackson Hastings. He was her favourite player at the time, and obviously, I'm like, not quite. Let's look at this team. Not biased at all, but obviously I'm pointing her towards Rhinos and being like, choose one.
How are things in the camp? Last week we were at Brighouse interviewing all the people ahead of the Challenge Cup finals, and the first question I asked everyone, because it's boring, is how excited are you? How excited are you for Sunday and the Challenge Cup final?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure everyone else, you know, has answered the question the same. I think as we get towards the back end of this week, the nerves will be kicking in a little bit. But at this moment in time, I'm like, yeah, can it be Sunday yet? And we are kind of, I'm going to use Simo's favourite phrase at the minute, we're in the sink or swim part of the season. And, you know, everyone's got to be putting in those extras, and everyone is. So I just want it to be Sunday. Like, I've got a busy week, as it is, but I'm bored of the busy week. I just want to be there.
It's difficult because the fixtures don't fall every week. So how do you physically prepare for what you know is probably going to be your toughest battle of the season?
I mean, first of all, I'll say I messaged my supervisor yesterday and I was like, I'm going to need Monday off. Regardless of the result, I'm going to need Monday off. And she, no questions asked. She was like, okay, that's fine. because, you know, it's a physical sport as is any form of rugby league. But for me, I know, so I've had a good PT session today with my trainer. I know I've got training tomorrow night with the rest of the team. And that is it for the hard stuff for me for this week. It's very much mobility wise, making sure I've still keep stretching, And maybe, and I hate yoga with a passion, but maybe some yoga. I keep thinking one day I might find something I enjoy, like Pilates. Again, I'm dropping Simo in it here. He loves Pilates. But yeah, for me personally, because I have to obviously keep in mind I work a full-time job. I have another job where I pick up as and when. They've been told, nope, don't ask me this week. I'm not interested. And it's very much about managing, you know, myself, not just physically, but mentally as well. So I don't know many people that get away with a 3-day week leading up to a Challenge Cup final when they work full time, but here I am.
The first amazing revelation there is that you've got a supervisor. Good luck to them.
She's coming on Sunday, actually. So I think...
I mean, we look back at last year's game, and the first thing is the Dragons play a slightly different style to anybody else you play. I mean, clearly there is an element of them that play at Halifax, and that gives them an edge. But the Dragons themselves are a very physical proposition in terms of they're aggressive, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I watched you playing at Medway Magic, and I am convinced that you are the hardest tackler in wheelchair rugby league. But how do you prepare for this Dragons challenge that is different? You'll only ever really see once in a campaign.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you can't prepare for the physicality of it. Like, I am very much aware that we are all players that are going to put our bodies on the line regardless. And, you know, last year when we played them in Challenge Cup final, there's a few of us that came out injured. You know, myself and Simo were joking about being stuck in bed for a couple of weeks after. But yeah, no, I wouldn't have it any other way, if I'm honest. Like, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, within wheelchair rugby league, there are very physical players who, you know, play aggressively, tackle aggressively, and I love it. However, it's a completely different, like, element having Catalan Dragons, because the game in France is that much more physical. And I think I kind of, it took me a second last year to go, oh, fending's a thing, to the point where at one point in the game, I think Gilles tried to fend me off and accidentally hit the chest area and was apologising very, very quickly in French. And I'm going, rugby league, innit? To which he had no clue what I was saying. my accent gets very Black Country at that point. So, you know, it's one of those things. And it's a, you know, I think anybody that comes into rugby league as a sport expects some kind of physicality. But for me, playing against all the teams I've played against in the last 15 years, I hate saying 15 years, it's one I look forward to before it happens. Afterwards, I have a little bit of a pity party for myself for a few days until I can move again. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Are you glad then you only have to face them once a year in the challenge? They're not in the league as of yet. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Are you glad we only have to play them once a year?
I mean, it's twice if you count the festival. And even then, that was a 10-minute game. And I was like, oh. I think that was our second game of the festival. But do you know what? Part of me is glad. But at the same time, I love the fact that that's what they bring. And I hate bringing the fact that I'm a female in the sport, but I love the fact they don't treat me any differently. And they're just going to go out and, you know, smash me as hard as they would, like in my chair, throw me out. They don't care. And that's good, because I don't care either when I go and hit them hard.
So we like to talk about and build up rivalry. It's the staple diet of any sport, and it's going to get us column inches outside of people that are devotees. And this English-French rivalry, it started with the Challenge Cup last year. It went into the World Cup, which you obviously weren't directly part of because you were playing for Wales. Can you see how for this game they are really set out for revenge and redemption, and will do anything they can to turn the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I love that fact. And for me, you know, I had them in my game at the World Cup last year and I want revenge. So it's one of those, it works on both sides, but they're going to be gunning for us because they want a victory over an English team. It doesn't matter whether it's England. It doesn't matter whether it's Leeds Rhinos. I think there's a game happening with Halifax Panthers in Catalan in a couple of weeks. It doesn't matter who it is. They just want to have that one-upper because it's bragging rights, isn't it? I think in rugby league, it's, you know, especially Wheelchair, it's always been England and France, which are the rivalry. And I will say I love it because, and we were talking about this the other day, a group of friends, I was fortunate to be part of that squad that beat France in, I want to say, 2019. And I, like, last year, it was like reliving that at Challenge Cup final. Probably doesn't help. I got a little bit too overexcited and kept calling Jeremy a pigeonhead in French, because apparently that's a new tick that I develop when we play.
I mean, it could be worse. I can't imagine pigeonhead is the top of the things you're not allowed to say to players.
No, but he looks very confused every time. And can we all just point a finger at Nathan Collins for that? Because scraps is the reason that stuck in my head and then became a tick. just a slight tangent there, but I genuinely think like they're gunning for us and I wouldn't have it any other way. It for me, it wouldn't feel as fulfilling in that game if they were just like, oh, it's Leeds, they're gonna beat us. And actually we feel like we're the underdogs because Nobody wants us to win this championship final, realistically, unless you bring in that English-French rivalry. So I just can't wait. Can you tell how excited I am? I get really like...
don't tell me the Rhinos are disliked. I can't be having this. Does everyone not like the Rhinos? I mean, genuinely, it's a genuine question. No one like it.
I think, personally, whether I get myself into trouble for this, but I think people have short memories and forget Leeds were the underdogs not that long ago. We were getting put 100 points on every game. And because we had such a successful run, you know, winning that treble, for example, nobody remembers those games when we were playing in the back end of God knows which part of Yorkshire. And genuinely having 100 points put on us every game, traveling across the country. And yet, realistically, a lot of people would have given up at that point. And our squad now, like our core squad, the majority are that same team from 10 years ago at this point.
So as a daft question, why didn't you give up? Why when you're losing 100 whatever points every other week, why don't you give up? Why don't you just go and do something else?
I mean, for me personally, I'd made my whole family move here. relocated over 100 miles for me to play a sport that I was just doing for fun. But no, I think for me, at that time, that was an element. I also, you know, I couldn't have found myself a better team of people that I just gelled with and clicked with. And at the time as well, my brother was also playing in the team. So it felt like we can only get better. And we knew at the time with our coach, there was a 5-year plan going and every single one of us bought into that. And it just shows what happens when players buy into it and the ethos we have. So yeah, we've lost a couple of people along the way. We've gained a couple of people in the first team, but for the most part, it's still the same people all those years ago that I essentially relocated everyone on a whim.
So you mentioned those people in the core. Clearly, one of the people who've dropped out from the playing side to now become, he says, the mastermind behind it, is James Simpson. I mean, how much have you missed him on the field? But I've heard Tom Halliwell refer to him as revolutionary. And he's got some, you know, off-the-wall ideas from a wheelchair perspective. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Like, I don't get me wrong, I miss Simo on the pitch just because it took us 10 years to build that relationship of knowing what the other was going to do before they even did it. And it's not an easily replaced relationship on the pitch. However, you know, we've had some new players come in and those relationships are developing. But Simo, I think at first when he was like, I'm retiring, you know, we've won a World Cup, I'm retiring, I'm done. And I was just like, here we go. Let's see what he's got in store. And honestly, I mean, by the time we get to a training on a Wednesday night, I've already worked maybe a 15-hour day at that point. And I still love going because you never know what he's going to come up with and what inspiration he's taking. He loves looking at other sports and going, actually, let's see if this will work within rugby league. And, you know, not just rugby league, but wheelchair rugby league, which is definitely a massive adaptation that you have to do anyway. And I just love seeing what he comes up with. And occasionally he'll come up with something. I'm like, huh, back when I used to play basketball, we did that drill, but with a different ball. And him just looking at me like, well, yeah. But I think having him as our head coach as well is, as a person, you know, everybody knows he's approachable. He's the most down-to-earth person. But I know if I have any issues, whether it's rugby related or not, unfortunately, Simo's probably the one that gets the message. But it's his enthusiasm. I have never come across anybody so enthusiastic, not just for the sport, but for this team and what this team can do. And it's not just, again, not just the Super League team, our development team, seeing where they started from all those months back to where they are now. Like, that in itself is a revelation. And a big part of that is Simo and the way he is as a person and as a coach. I can talk about him all day.
But one of the first things he did, which might have surprised people from the outside, was that he chose to make you the captain. Now, he's got the England captain in his ranks. Virtually all of the five starters are leaders in their own way. But why do you think he chose you, and how honoured were you to take on, obviously, his armband?
Yeah, I mean, I've told people this a few times since the announcement went out at the start of the season. I thought I'd done something, that I'd opened my mouth to the wrong person and gobbed off, or, you know, I have a reputation for being blunt, both on and off the pitch. I say it how it is. I don't really have a filter. So I was like, oh no, who have I said something to? And like, for him to then go, because it was literally going, can I ring you? And me going, never ring me. What? Why are you ringing me? And then the agonizing wait, because I was out and I couldn't, like, I don't like taking calls when I'm in public, especially when I think I'm probably going to get a bollocking. If I can say that on here, I don't know. But yeah, so I was like, I'll be back in 2 hours. And those 2 hours were the most painful of my life. But yeah, I know, I think in general, a lot of eyebrows were raised about it. As you said, you've got Tom Halliwell, England captain, World Cup winning captain. And then for Tom not to be asked or chosen, however you want to phrase it, I've seen it so many times in media and various things since it got announced about, oh, it was a bit of an eye raiser. And actually, I appreciate the reasons why. So Simo told me, not only, as I said earlier, 15 years I've been in this sport, all in all, which I can't, like, I can probably count on my two hands the amount of people that are in this sport that have been part of it for that long, which makes me feel very old because it's half my life at this point. But it's that experience that comes with it. And granted, I will put my hands up and say, I'm not a playmaker, which is what the likes of Tom and Scraps are. But I've never felt the need to do that. And I think where I am my strongest is being the voice of reason, as Simo phrases it, which is completely foreign to my brain, having somebody say that about me. But it's that voice that cuts across the field, and I'm aware of that. I'm like a foghorn in games, but I don't think that's the way you meant it. Even just little things like when we played Halifax in Manchester, I could see Tom getting frustrated and like chirping a little bit at the ref, and I got called in and got told if he carries on, off he goes. And me going up to Tom going, basically, in a nice, can you do it in a nice way? I don't know, but I tell people it was in a nice way of me going, shut up or you're getting carded. And it's, I think, I don't know whether it's the face, the look I give or what. I'm aware I have a game face, so that might play a part. But it literally was, and I'm condensing it very, very much there, me essentially saying that with a little bit extras added on. And my last words to him before we continued were, make them pay for it. You're getting frustrated. Show them what you can do with that. And he went and pretty much made a good break and scored. And me going, see, I told you, if you keep your gob shut and play the game, which I saw something recently actually where he was like, his biggest secret was he likes to suck up to refs. And I'm like, are we in the same game? But I think I was talking to Ewan earlier today, and we were just nattering, and I said, I forget how old I am compared to the rest of the squad, really. There's a bit of a, you know, Simo was the closest in age, and I'm not going to say his age because I can't remember it, but he was older than me. But I think there's
34.
He's 4 years older than me then. So I'm pretty sure I said 36 earlier to Ewan, but yeah, I'm not good with ages. I've got a neuro condition. That's my excuse. So we were talking, and like I'd said, it's weird because I don't think about it in terms of ages. When you look at it, I think Tom is a good 6, maybe more years younger than me, which I don't think about on the pitch, but occasionally you go, ah. And it was just a case of Simo wanting somebody who can be experienced, who can lead. And not saying Tom hasn't got that, but it's my personal opinion is I'm the gobbiest of the two of us. That's not the reason he told me, but I you know, I'm very vocal in general, on the pitch more so, and I like to think that bar the actual in-game of, you know, hitting hard, tackling hard, making, you know, myself available for whatever is needed for plays, I'm also aware that we're quite fortunate to have the likes of Tom as a playmaker, because I wouldn't want that job. I think we've tried it once at like an international camp, and I was just like, nah, this is too much. Like, for anybody, I don't think, like, mentally having to be a playmaker, having to be that voice of reason and the one who's communicating with everyone, make sure everyone knows what they're doing and that kind of thing, I think it's a lot for anybody. And for me personally, don't get me wrong, I am so honoured. Simo said to me, like, are you sure you don't want to think about it? And I was like, no, it's fine. A week later, I'm like, Simo, all these media people want me to talk to them and I don't know what to do. And he was like, that's why I asked you if you wanted to think on it. So it's one of those, I think it raised some eyebrows, but myself and Tom work really well as that different type of leadership on the pitch, and actually I think we bounce well personality wise, which was shown when we went and did a CrossFit session as a team, when me and Tom were paired together until we realised it was competition, and I was like, you're going down. Don't add competition into it, that's my downfall. So yeah, I think all in all, I wasn't expecting it at all. In fact, I was expecting to go, so just want to tell you, I've asked Tom to be captain, because that's like, my brain was going, you know, anybody in the squad could be asked at this point. But I'd like to think Tom's okay with it too. If he's not, he's not said out. But I am aware, Simo, you know, he didn't just blindside people. He gave whether it's calls or messages, he did some just to speak to people and let them know. And actually, I'm not gonna lie, I forget how much pressure it feels at times to be captain. I've not been a captain of a team since I was probably about 11. and even then, I'm pretty sure it was wheelchair basketball and it was juniors. Then nobody was bothered. If you messed up, you messed up. Whereas I feel a sense of a little bit of weight on my shoulders at times because I feel like we have to present a certain way. And I'm getting used to it. I mean, the season's nearly done and it's took me this long. So if Simo goes next season, by the way, I'm naming someone else as captain. I think my brain's going to be like, but I've just got used to it. Why would you do this?
So you're effectively Kevin Sinfield to Tom's Jamie Peacock. That worked.
Yeah, essentially. In fact, I'm pretty sure that was a comparison, as I said, when I was having a chat with Ewan about stuff earlier. That was pretty much the comparison he made when we were talking about like different playing styles and leadership styles and all that stuff. Because obviously everyone's really at the point now where we just want to get in, hit hard, do what we need to do, and realistically come out with a trophy on Sunday. Like, I don't care about anything like any other game at this moment in time. And somebody asked me last week, they were like, oh, so you think it last week, whenever Medway Magic was, can you tell I don't, my brain doesn't work with dates great either. And they asked me, oh, so you think about Challenge Cup? And I was like, mate, we've got games. Like, I've got to go to Kent to play games before I think about Challenge Cup. And as you touched on earlier, Phil, you know, it's hard because we're not playing every weekend. And don't get me wrong, there was a time where that was the case and it was hard then too. So it's finding that fine line, I think. But up until Medway Magic was done and we knew what was going on, like what our plans were for the Challenge Cup, I didn't want to think about it because it was scaring me. Because if I start getting distracted on that, I'm not going to perform how I want to perform in anything that's in between that time. So, yeah, it's definitely hitting me now that we're not that many days out.
I mean, if you are the new Kevin Sinfield, we'll look forward to your inspirational book of words when you retire in, you know, donkey's years time. You mentioned game face. Are you sick of that photo they keep using of you? Because I've just seen it again today because they're setting up this women's wheelchair rubric and you're on there with you. I don't know what you're doing. What's going on there? What was that?
So my six-year-old, and I have to get used to calling her six because she's just turned six. My six-year-old niece was at that game because that photo was taken at Manchester against Halifax. And we have this thing, if she's at my game at the end, we kind of do a psychotic smile to each other. and I mean, she has to see my game face in person. I mean, she sees my game face a lot of the time and she's not bothered by it. So that was like our next step of joking about. And when I realized that photo had been taken, I'm like, oh no, this is going to haunt me. And it's been, so I found out it had been used in the Challenge Cup program at Wembley the other day. First of all, I wanted to cry when I saw the picture. Then I started laughing about the caption Hot Wheels. And then the Hot Wheels advert from when I was a kid started playing in my head, which is not fun because my brain stuck on it for a few days. and then this that's gone out about the women's event prior to the Challenge Cup. I was asked for some photos that I would prefer. I assumed it was for this. And I was asked to provide some of my favourite photos of myself. So there were some from the World Cup advert that we shot, which, you know, battle ropes in a wheelchair. Worst decision I ever made. but there were some from Leeds games and all that. And I assumed one of those would be used for whatever was going out. And somebody actually sent it me on Snapchat today and went, and literally that voice note of that laugh. and then one of my teammates said, I am going to make sure this photo never disappears. After I went, I despise that photo. I it's rare for me to it, I think because I'm so much in game face in games that I forget there's still cameras at the end of games. So when my niece is there and we do stupid faces and that slightly psychotic smile, I forget and I don't pay attention to the camera. Fun fact, by the way, at that game, apparently she was my daughter. Blew my mind afterwards because I looked at my phone once we'd left, and I was like, everyone's going, why have you not told us you've got a daughter? Like, when, how, who? And I'm like, what? essentially, I finished, give her that look, got sorted in the changing room, got my phone and saw all these messages, went back out and was like, your mom's gonna kill me, child. And I was like, and then when all the photos started coming out, I'm like, I'm not, no. And since then, believe it or not, she's not been to a game, so I haven't done that face. But I'm pretty sure that I don't know. I mean, I always say I nobody knows how long they've got in them for this sport because it depends on, you know, as a disabled player, my conditions and how they progress. But as she said, potentially donkey's years. I'm gonna be in, and I can guarantee the day I retire, that'll be the photo they use.
I'll make sure of it. So
Thanks,
there,
Phil.
no problem. That's what friends are for. The I mean, obviously, you talk about living in the moment, and you're not looking forward too much. But I don't know if you do creative visualization, but you are the captain. Have you dared to allow yourself a moment to see you picking up that trophy on Sunday?
Do you know what? No, until I did a Zoom interview last week with somebody from BBC, and she added even more pressure to my shoulders as she made a comment regarding, and my brain couldn't help itself, regarding the fact that, you know, not only were we history making, we've no other team in wheelchairs had the trophy 4 times, and I'm like, okay, I know that's pressure. I'm aware that's pressure that everyone is putting on us. And she went, well, from my research, it looks like you'll be the only female captain in wheelchair to, and I'm like, no. And my brain just for a split second, and I'm like, no. So, I mean, I don't know if that's correct or not, but for that split second, she caught me off guard. And I struggle to visualize things. So for that little thing to creep in, I'm like, no, that better not have jinxed us. And since then, I've refused to think about it. But the conversations, whether it's at training, like speaking to you, I can't put that image in my head because I am very superstitious when it comes to it. And I know that from last year when we played Catalan, even at the festival, it was hard. Like it was very evenly matched, and it was only because of a few things that could be 50-50 or, you know, little tiny percentages or percenters, that's not a word, but we're gonna go with it, that we did everything, and because we stayed as, you know, stayed working as a team and really much team mentality, I genuinely, I'm like, no, not thinking about it. And even, I'm not gonna lie, even if we get to the last 2 minutes and we are winning, that is not going in my brain. And it is, I am superstitious when it comes to those things. Like I don't know what it is, and maybe it's a similar thing across the board. I don't know. I've never really gone, have you thought about this? But for me, last week I was just like, if we lose, it's your fault. To the poor person interviewing me. Obviously I don't mean that, but yeah, I can't even, you know, things like and it might not seem a massive thing, but even internationally with Wales, the Celtic Cup, for example, not once have I ever gone, okay, I can see myself lifting. That's just not who I am. So the fact that brief second that it went and I was like, no, we can't do that. So actually, I think the first time I'll visualize it is as I'm living it, very much as you've said, living in the moment, because not only that, again, neuro condition, my brain will forget about it all. Until somebody else mentions it, it won't be there. Until, as I said, we get to the last end part of this week, and then hyperfixating is what I'll be doing. And I'll be, I can guarantee I will probably watch last year's final back several times in like 2 days. I hate watching myself play. Like, I hate watching it back, but I put myself through it when it comes to finals, just because it's the only way to stop any images coming into my head, as weird as that sounds, about lifting a trophy. And don't get me wrong, am I confident? Yeah. However, you don't know what's going to happen until you're in that game. And that is very much where my mentality lies at the minute.
Because time's going to beat us, I don't have time to ask you, and you could have blamed neuro conditions or whatever on how you thought I did in that training session last year, and the only one I turned up at. So unfortunately, we don't have time to ask you that, which is a shame. But
that's fine. It's me. I talk forever.
it's always better when we don't ask any questions. Sum up what people will see on Sunday for those who maybe watched the World Cup or didn't watch the World Cup, or have never been to a game, never seen a game. What can we expect to see on Sunday? I mean, I'm talking about visualization. You can't visualize yourself. I can't say the word. You just speak. We've got 2 minutes until Zoom kicks us off. So you speak.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The only way I've been describing it to people who have not watched games recently is, you're going to see hard hits, you're going to see chairs and people flying, you're going to see fast, furious, like, that's the only thing, only way. And I know people go, oh, it's the sounds, and surely you must get injured. And I always like hear people go, oh, it's just the chairs. I can promise you it's not just the chairs. but it's so exciting. And I'm saying this, I will watch any wheelchair game I get a chance to, obviously schedule permitting, but I think we're planning to, me and my best friend are planning to get there early so we can watch a little bit of the game before us, and regardless of what level, it's going to be exciting, and you get to see from grassroots to Super League. What more can you want? Like, people hitting each other hard in metal chairs and nobody crying about it.
Well, you won't mind if at the end of it a couple of Frenchmen are crying about it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Last year, when I turned around and saw Seb crying, it made me a little happy.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he knows this. But it made my heart a little leap of joy, until afterwards, when like, I was like, should I feel guilty? And then I was like, no. So, I mean, I'm not going to complain if there's some Frenchman crying. But as I said, it's one of those, it's, you're going to take hits, you're going to have impacts. And I know for me and my teammates, we are very much put your bodies in the line. Most of us just fight through whatever injury we get anyway. Whether that's good or bad, medically speaking, I'm not saying anything. but that's the fun of it.
It's going to kick us off, Jodie. So thank you for coming on. Good luck.
No worries.
Phil will be cheering you on from Headingley. I'll be cheering you on from, I'm working, so I'm going to miss it, so I'll be sneaking a watch. But you'll come back on again, won't you? We've not upset you too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you know, I'll talk forever.
Yeah, we'll get you on for longer next time. That's good. Good luck. Fingers
crossed. Thank you.
Smash some French people.
Podcast Network.